Well, good morning, everyone. I am very glad that you're with us today. Whether you've joined us by phone or in person, I pray that this time of worship to God will deeply feed your spirit with the spiritual nourishment that you need. Recently, when some of us were meeting at Arcadia Park, it was asked, "What do we call ourselves as a fellowship?" Brother Neil gave a great response. He said, "We are part of the kingdom of God." And I have to agree, that is who we are. The name LA Christian Fellowship is simply a descriptor of who we are. We're a fellowship of Christians who live in the LA area. Although because of technology, our influence goes beyond the LA area. That's proven today by our phone service with Brother Greg Lord directing the worship by phone from his home way over in Paducah, Kentucky. We have on any given week people joining us from four or more states, and this is all to the glory of God. I've titled my message today, "Are You Involved or Invested in the Kingdom of God?" And for many of us, that would mean more specifically, are you involved or invested in the LA Christian Fellowship? This is a great question to ask ourselves, and I hope from today we can see more clearly where we are in regards to kingdom work. But I think we first need to understand what we mean by the terms involved and invested. Now, looking at Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it gives several definitions of the term involved. The one that best fits with the message today is this. And the definition of involved, having a part in something or included in something. Now, here's an example. Fred was involved in a lawsuit. Now, this could mean that Fred really didn't want to be a part of this lawsuit, but he had no choice. Or perhaps he wanted to be. He initiated it. So that's involved. Now, let's consider the word invest. I think something that comes to many of our minds when we hear this term is probably money, such as investing in the stock market. And certainly, one invests in the stock market because they hope for a great return. In other words, they hope their money will make more money. Let's see how Merriam-Webster's dictionary defines invested. Among several definitions the dictionary gives, the two I'd like for us to focus on that really relate to today's message are one, to make use for future benefits or advantages. And here's an example of this. Jane invested her time wisely. Or a second definition of invested, to involve or engage, especially emotionally. And here's an example of that. They were deeply invested in their children's lives. I think from these two terms, we can see there's a difference in the level of commitment between these terms involvement and investment. Whereas involvement includes being part of something, either by choice or not, invested includes being involved, but goes to a much deeper level of commitment, including being engaged on an emotional level and desiring to see a return, some tangible result of our initial investment. Okay, so how does this tie into the LA Christian Fellowship and its role as part of the worldwide kingdom of God? Well, one thing I have noticed over the years is that there are many people who are involved with the church fellowship. They're part of it, but they're not fully invested in it. They are not emotionally connected to it. They're not putting all of their energies into it. And consequently, they don't get a big spiritual return in their lives. Now let's look together at Matthew chapter 13. This is the parable of the sower. And let's gain some clarity on this issue of involvement versus investment, paying particular attention to verses 7 and 8. And we'll start in verse 3. Matthew 13 in verse 3. And it reads, "Then he," Jesus, "spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, and they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." Now concentrate on 7 and 8 here. "Some fell among thorns, The thorns sprang up and choked them. Verse 8, but others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, let's read what Jesus' explanation is with this parable. Pay close attention to verses 22 and 23, and we'll start in verse 18. In verse 18, I read, therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, he immediately stumbles. Now let's focus on 22 and 23 here. Jesus says, now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becomes unfruitful. But he who received the seed on the good ground is he who hears the word, understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Four soils, four hearts, four levels of commitment to Jesus' kingdom. Soil one, a hard heart, not interested in Jesus' kingdom. Soil two, an involvement in Jesus' kingdom, but only when things are easy, when there's no difficulty, when trouble or persecution occur because of that commitment to the kingdom, the person leaves. Soil three is one who is involved in the kingdom, but no serious investment in it, and it shows in their life. The person is caught up way too much in worldly issues, and I dare say may even be involved in some kingdom matters, but there's no fruit, which could include helping people come to Christ, and which could also include growing in Christ's likeness, as the fruits of the Spirit found in Galatians 5:22 talk about. In fact, let's read that together. Galatians 5, and we'll start in verse 22 and read through verse 25. And it reads, verse 22, Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So this fruit includes growing in Christ's likeness, the fruits of the Spirit. Question, and it's for me as well as you, are you growing in Christ's likeness? You know, this is something I think about often, I'd say nearly every day, and I still see I need to grow in these fruits of the Spirit. But I believe this fruit also means helping other people come to enter the kingdom. Let's read together Matthew 28. Verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it reads, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So this fruit also includes making disciples. Notice that Jesus sets up a self-perpetuating system of making disciples. Namely, if you're a disciple of Jesus, you'll be involved in expanding the kingdom, which includes growing in the fruits of the Spirit, becoming more like Christ, and then helping others come into this glorious kingdom. And these two kinds of fruit complement each other nicely. They're not mutually exclusive. So from this parable, I hope it's clear that Jesus expects more than a casual involvement in his kingdom. He expects nothing less than a total commitment to him and his marching orders for us. But I think we, if we're not careful, can fall into the trap of modern American Christianity that is not actively making disciples of Jesus. I have known many people over the years who have looked for a church that has great entertaining worship, or a big children's program complete with a full-time youth pastor, or a church that has a beautiful building. But I can't find in Scripture where Jesus says these things are what we should be looking for in a church. Rather, Jesus calls us to be godly people full of the fruits of the Spirit who are using all their energies to help make disciples and literally bring down heaven on earth. President John F. Kennedy gave an inspiring inaugural address on January 20th, 1961. Probably the most memorable part of this speech was a short statement that I think fits beautifully in today's message and is the need of the hour for our fellowship today, I believe. JFK said, "And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." And for us in the kingdom, I'd like to rephrase this a bit to say this. "And so, my fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, ask not what the LA Christian Fellowship can do for you and for your family. Ask what you and your family can do for the LA Christian Fellowship. And for you folks calling in and living in a different place from LA, what are you doing? What are you personally doing to expand the borders of the kingdom of God in your city?" Do you see the emphasis here? So many people are looking for a church to, quote unquote, meet their needs. But I think we need to be thinking of how to be fully invested in the LA Christian Fellowship, how we, in each of our lives, can personally bless it. We need to be asking ourselves, what can I do to build up this fellowship? As a church, I believe we teach sound doctrine. I have no doubt that we're probably a bit off on some things, but we're growing, we're learning. But I do believe we are growing and growing in the right direction. We teach how to become a Christian correctly. We emphasize living a holy life. And we have brothers weekly, every week, giving us inspiring and challenging messages free of charge, just because of the love they have for each one of us. So we each need to consider what the needs are in the fellowship and for each of us to find ways to meet those needs. Now, what I like to do at this point is simply share what some of the needs are as I see it in our fellowship and what some of the solutions are in meeting those needs. And, you know, I'm not going to cover every need that we have. There's many, many needs, and I'm trying to keep this to about half an hour. But I'll focus on four needs today. Need number one, we definitely need a great investing in prayer. Certainly individually, but also, I believe, collectively. Prayer is such an important part of the Christian life. Let's look at the disciples in Acts 1, shortly after Jesus rose from the dead, and let's look at their prayer life. Let's take this in Acts chapter 1, and we'll be reading verses 12 through 14. Acts 1, 12 through 14. And it reads, "Then they," the disciples, "returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered, they went up into the upper room where they were staying, Peter, James, John, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas the son of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers." And the one accord here isn't the Honda accord that we might think of a car. It's they're doing it all together. Jesus' first disciples were praying disciples, men and women alike. We need to do the same. To help with this, I send out a prayer list of needs every other week. Many of us in the fellowship request prayer needs, as well as many folks outside of our fellowship. It is a way to truly unite believers from around the world, and there are literally people that contribute from different countries. Also, for several months now, I've opened up the conference call line on Monday nights from 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time until 7:30 or 7:45 p.m., depending on how many people are on the call. Other than one Monday, There has always been at least two people on the line praying together, praying to God. Now, this doesn't have to be the extent of prayer opportunities in the fellowship. If any of you want to use the conference call line for a prayer time with others, maybe the sisters want to get together for a prayer time or some of the brothers, let me know. I'll gladly use my conference call line. If you like, I can even direct you in how to get your own free conference call line. And it is free. It is absolutely free. You know, I know when Debbie has her Wednesday Bible study in Acts with some of the ladies, prayer is always a part of the time. Usually when I have a Bible study with a brother or people seeking the kingdom, we all pray. Prayer, coupled with a very godly life, works. Again, ask not what the fellowship can do for you, but what can you do for the fellowship in regards to prayer. Here's another need I see. Need number two, investing in our children. You know, we have a lot of young people in our fellowship, and amen to that. You know, at our last meeting at Arcadia Park, I counted 19 children and young adults. We older adults were outnumbered over 2 to 1. Now, I preached about divorce and remarriage from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount that Sunday, and I definitely was speaking to our unmarried young people. I want them to make good life decisions about whether they should marry or not, and if they do marry, to marry wisely. Now, it's brought up during fellowship after the service that there's a need for more activities for the young people, and I completely agree. What we need then is some parents in the fellowship to talk and plan, and it wouldn't hurt to get input from your kids, and start having more events for our young people. Since we don't have a full-time staff, the responsibility to have young people's activities falls on we, the parents here. And it really is as simple as one dad and or one mom saying to the other dads and moms, hey, let's talk. Let's plan some fun events for our kids. Now, being the empty nesters, Debbie and I are in a different place than most of the rest of the people listening in or here at the park. But we do have experience working with young people, and we're happy to share our expertise if needed. And the parents here are free to use my conference call, free conference call line, to discuss plans with each other or for the kids. Or you can always meet through a Facebook room or Zoom. But I definitely believe we need to invest in our children. And the parents here need to start planning some activities together. Perhaps one well-planned and executed activity each month for now. As we have victory with that, maybe more often in the future. Brothers and sisters, let's get invested in our children as a fellowship. And young people, don't just sit there idly. Speak up. Let your parents know what fun things you like to do with the other kids in the fellowship. Again, ask not what the fellowship can do for you or your children, but what can you and your children do for the fellowship? How can you bless all of our young people? Need number three, investing in one another. Like the definition said earlier, being invested, especially with each other, involves being engaged emotionally with each other. Brother Eric speaks well of this often, about the need for us in the fellowship to have deep, meaningful, emotional, intimate bonds with one another. I heartily agree. And I'm working on this in my own life. I had the pleasure of reading and studying through 1 Corinthians with Brother John and Brother Eros these past months. We finished the last chapter, chapter 16, last Tuesday. And we always start the time with prayer, and each of us prays. It's an emotionally bonding time and quite stirring to the soul. As Eros and I studied chapter 16, we both saw how people were so very important to Paul. I'll give you a little snippet of this chapter, and you can see how Paul was invested in his brothers and sisters. Let's read together in 1 Corinthians 16, starting in verse 10. Paul writes, "And if Timothy comes, see that he may be with you without fear, for he does the work of the Lord, as I also do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his journey in peace, that he may come to me, for I am waiting for him with the brethren. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to come to you with the brethren, but he was quite unwilling to come at this time. However, he will come when he has a convenient time. Do you see the care, love, and concern Paul has for Timothy and Apollos? One thing Eros mentioned was that Paul was not concerned about things. He was concerned about people. He was all about God, Christ, and people, and so we should be also. The question I have for all of us, including me, are you invested in someone else in the LA Christian Fellowship? I think we all need to be. Now, we can't necessarily be invested in everyone in the fellowship. I think we just get spread too thin. But we should be invested in one another as much as we possibly can. And you know, this goes far beyond our Sunday meetings. I'm talking about texts, phone calls, emails, Facebook rooms, Zoom meetings, prayers for one another, praying with each other over the phone or in person, as well as face-to-face meetings, eating together. Church, quote-unquote church, really is where two or three gather together, as Jesus speaks of in Matthew 18, verse 20. And that scripture basically says, and you can look it up for yourself, but where two or three gather in Jesus' name, there he is with us. Again, ask not what the fellowship can do for you, but what can you do for the fellowship? Who can you invest your time and energies in our fellowship? But besides one another, we need to go beyond this and take an honest look, a very honest look at this very lost world, which leads me to the last point. Need number four, investing in lost souls. You know, one doesn't need to look in the New Testament for long to see God's desire for every person to come into a saving relationship with him. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. Paul writes to Timothy, "Therefore, I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." God's heart in the matter is that he wants all men to be saved and all men to come to a full knowledge of his truth. Because of this fact, I hope we're all investing a fair portion of our time and energies into building relationships with the lost souls in our neighborhoods, jobs, schools, wherever we meet people. And we need to use wisdom and discretion in this. I think it's very important to look for those who truly want to follow Christ and to move on from those who are not open. We do God a terrible disservice by wasting time on those who are closed to the gospel, trying to convince them to obey God. It only exasperates that closed person, and it also keeps us from the truly open person. And to those listening in today from other cities, perhaps you should consider opening up your home or apartment and starting a home fellowship, just like the LA Christian Fellowship. Consider Acts 8, verses 1 through 4, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Acts 8, 1 through 4. It says, "Now Saul was consenting to his death," and he's referring to the martyr Stephen. "And at that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. But get this, therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Wow, these disciples did not wait for a church fellowship to form so they could be a part of it. They each preached the word and let God bring the increase of souls. And we need to follow their lead Those listening in from other cities, have you considered inviting someone else to listen in to the conference call on Sunday as well? You know, this could be the start of a vibrant house church in your city. And we at the LA Christian Fellowship are happy to support you in this. I know this is what Brother Greg Lord is praying for in his city of Paducah, Kentucky. He's doing it. He's inviting people into his home. Again, ask not what this lost world can do for you, but what can you do for this lost world? So to wrap this up, I'll ask the question again. Are you only involved in the LA Christian Fellowship? Or are you fully invested in the LA Christian Fellowship? It's an important question that we all need to honestly answer. If you're only involved, considered a part of the fellowship, and that's it. That's not enough. That's much like the third soil we talked about earlier, where the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of life make us unfruitful to the Lord. That, brothers and sisters, is not a good place to be in. And if you're invested in the fellowship, your life will tell the story. Not so much your words, your life will tell the story. There'll be an ever-increasing fruitfulness in your life, both in being more and more Christ-like, growing in those fruits of the Spirit, and being a part of helping others, other people, come to know and obey Christ. It's really that simple. In the parable of the sower, only the last soil, or the last life, or last heart, we should say, is one that pleases God. The other three are not right. Brothers and sisters, both in the LA Christian Fellowship, those listening in from out of town, God is expecting a return from our lives, from all he has invested in us. And he's invested much into us through his son Jesus and his sacrifice and the Holy Spirit he's given us, as well as each other. And if you're abundantly fruitful, amen. I urge you to continue to grow and pray to be even more fruitful in the days ahead. If you're distracted too much by this world and all of its trappings, and are unfruitful, then repent. Confess this and get help quickly so you can be on the road to yielding a crop of 30, 60, or even 100-fold, because that's the natural result when you're fully invested in the kingdom. And you know, not too many people are really needed who are invested fully in the kingdom to shake up LA for Christ. Or for your city, for those listening in from out of LA. The famous 18th century preacher John Wesley said it so well. I love this quote. Wesley says, "Give me 100 men who hate nothing but sin and love God with all of their hearts, and I will shake the world for Christ." Amen, Brother Wesley. Let's fully invest ourselves in the work of the Lord. Let's fully invest ourselves, heart, mind, soul, and strength, into the LA Christian Fellowship, a small but very important outpost of the eternal, worldwide kingdom of God. Amen. Now, our dear brother will close us out with some thoughts and then pray. God bless you all, and I pray you have a wonderful week serving him. God bless.